The title of my message is Missing the Boat, or The Right Boat or Wrong Boat. And I think we'll go with The Right Boat or Wrong Boat. Now, sometimes we are inclined to think that, you know, sometimes people, they just miss the boat. You know, and what does that mean? What does it mean whenever you miss the boat? Well, this morning, hopefully, we will be able to straighten that out and we'll understand what missing the boat or right boat or wrong boat really is and how we determine which is the right or wrong boat. So first of all, I want to read in John chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. We went over this on Wednesday night, but I have a totally different approach to it for this morning. So this is John chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father hath given all things into his hands, and that he hath come from God and was going to God. Now, a couple of things, this is not the main text, but a couple of things to always remember is that the Father hath given all things into his hands. So when we're talking about our relationship with Christ and that we are in his hands and nothing can separate us, we want to remember that God has put all things into his hands. There's, you know, nothing can pluck you out of his hand. And we also are looking at how about our life and our daily life, how are they orchestrated by the Lord? So we continue to read. And then he hath come from God, and he was going to God. He rose from the supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. And after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he was girded. And when he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Now, that's the part where I'm going to leave. For the key verse here in this is not that Peter didn't want his feet washed, but that Jesus tells Peter that what he is doing, you will understand it later on. Now, a lot of things in our life we need to recognize that we will understand later on. How many times have you thought of seemingly things have gone wrong, and after a period of time has passed, you find that they've gone right? You know, one of the things that I look at for that particular situation is that when we left we have friends that have come from Katanning and visited us, and whenever we were in Katanning, we were there, we started a church, and those were people who were very, I guess very close to us, because all these years later, they're still, they still connect with us, and we're glad for that. But whenever we left or we went to a situation, a church that, it all looked wonderful on the outside, you know, this is going to go into a building program, we're going to do all this stuff. But then when we got there, it all was like a house of cards. It all fell apart. It was not anything like what was presented. The people themselves didn't know what was going on. And, you know, they had a building program with a sanctuary that seated 400 or 500 people, and there was no parking. It would be like building a sanctuary 500 across the street but forgetting to put parking in. And a mining community in which there were double houses all over the place. It's like, this can't happen. You know, wow, we've been deceived. This isn't right. And so everything looked like it went wrong. And we left there in 6 months. You know, it was not a good place. But what happened was we came here. And you people are saying, God, I wish they had kept them up there. But no, but you look at things and you at one time that looked, wow, this is a disaster, because where we left, everything was great. And for no apparent reason, other than that we felt God wanted us to go, we left. And so then we came here, and all the things that happened with, you know, this congregation and the hospital and the different things in the community and Rhonda teaching, and all these things came together. So it looked bad at one point, but after a period of time, it is just as God had it planned. So how often have we looked back and found out situations like that have happened? So in John, where we just read, we know that Jesus is preparing them for the Last Supper. He's going to wash their feet. And one of the things to keep in mind is this servant who was the lowest in the class of servants in a home, that was the servant who washed the feet of all the people who came into the house. So here are the disciples coming to this supper, and no one would wash the other's feet because they didn't want to be the lowest servant in the house. And Jesus comes along and says, you know, basically says later on, he that is greatest among you, let him be the servant of all. So he's talking about servanthood. But what we have here is that you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. Later you will understand. So Jesus said, you do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand. So in the middle of the storm, Jesus, who was taken from them, beaten and crucified, it all appeared to be lost. And that was the storm that the disciples were entering into. Then I want us to move over to Acts chapter 28. And this is where, in Acts chapter 28, verses 1 through 8, we begin with, Paul is sailing for Rome. Now, Paul is, he's under arrest. He's been under arrest for a period of time. And he's, trying to figure this all out, and where's God taking him and all these things. And so he ends up on a ship, and they are going to Rome, but it's the wrong time of the year, meaning that the winds have changed. The nor'easters are blowing, and they can't, it's a time in which ships at that time didn't sail. But it was right at the turning point. And ships were already put into harbor for the winter, but this ship that Paul is on, they've decided that they need to go on. So it was beginning of winter, and they were attempting to sail. They had a few good days, and we find that in chapter 27, verse 9, much time had been lost. Sailing had already become dangerous. Paul warned them, in verse 10, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to the ship and to our own lives. So Paul is warned about this voyage. The Spirit warns him, and it's important. When things are, I remember praying about things, God gives you an answer, you know, it's like that. And then I remember, well, what am I supposed to do with it? And basically, the answer was nothing. What? You know, in this situation, Paul is warned, but what can he do about it? Nothing. He's a prisoner. He warns the people in charge, but they don't get it. And so they don't realize where he's getting his information from. So, so where they're going, what's going on, and they had lost a lot of time because of the wind and the storm, and why do people press on when they know what they're doing is wrong? Did you ever figure that one out? Whenever somebody's doing something wrong and they know it, but they keep going. Well, sometimes I think it's just that people just want to do one more day. One more thing. One more time. One more week and one more I'll go to church. One more month I'll go to church. One more time I'll give my life to Jesus. You know, it's just not time yet. And that's kind of here we are saying, you know, you need to give your life to Christ. You know, you need to learn the scriptures and be in church, be part of the body of Christ. You need to know these things. And that's the direction of the Holy Spirit in our life. giving them direction in their life, and they're like these individuals, these Roman soldiers. We can't, well, no, we just, one more, we're just going to keep on going a little further. So, sometimes in our lives, we can't live in fear. Not sometimes, but no time in our life. We live, we look at the news in the Middle East, and the things that are going on in the times of the seasons, and we're really coming close to the idea that Jesus is going to come back. And there's a number of things I've sent for more books about the coming of the Lord, and some of the things that have happened in the last few months and so on that are making all this stuff kind of look differently, even coming closer than we ever imagined. So stay tuned. We'll bring that up at another time. But we find that we don't need to worry about it. Why? As we studied in Sunday school, because your names are written in the book of life. Your name is written in the book of life. There's no need to be afraid. So we find that they're going on with this journey. It's not a fear decision. It's a declaration. They just got to make one more stop, one more port. Verse 13 says, when the south wind blew softly. Now, what happens is they're trying to get, you know, they're port hopping. They're going from one port to another. They want to find a good place to put in for the winter, but where they're at, not good enough. They gotta make the next one. So when the south wind blew softly, you worry too much. You know, Jesus coming back. Life is as it always is. We don't need to worry about giving our life to Jesus. We don't need to worry about attending church and hearing about the scriptures and building our faith and all. The wind's blowing softly, and they had obtained their desire, so they put out to sea, and they sailed close to Crete. They're going to stay close to shore so that if something bad comes up, some wind comes up, they can just, you know, ditch into the next harbor. Well, guess what happened? Verse 14, that's what happens. verse 14, but not long after, meaning not long after they put out to sea, the sun shining, and they must have had the weatherman that we have today because, you know, it's going to be fair, clear sailing for the next 2 weeks, but there might be a possibility, okay? So they put out, and so what happens is, but not long after a tempestuous headwind arose called a Euronidon, which is a northeastern. You know, why couldn't they just say northeastern? So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. So what happens is this nor'easter comes, and the thing that was the winter winds, we know what nor'easterns are. So when a nor'easter hits and the winter winds hit, you can't go anywhere. That's what they were afraid of. That's what they were supposed to put in. Well, despite Paul's caution to the captain, the ship sailed for Phoenix, which was further along the coast of Crete, and the winds came, and we would say that what were they doing? They were playing it safe. They were playing the odds. They're going to make the next port, and just one more port, just one more time, you know, just people doing one more thing. And one more port, one more thing, and something happens. And what happens? The great wind came, and the centurions probably wished they had listened to Paul's counsel. But there is coming a day when many who are lost or wish that they had. You know, I think the one of the great turmoils or tortures in hell will be the time that they will remember every situation that they were presented with an opportunity to know Jesus and they turned it down. I think that will be in the great torture in hell. And the scripture also says it would be better for you never to be born than to have come to faith in Christ and walked away from it. That will be the worst torture of hell. Well, of course, there's if you believe in layers of hell, Hitler's at the bottom. People like him, they're at the bottom, and they're just some unimaginable torture. But anyhow, we'll move on. Verse 16. And running under the shelter of an island called Claudia, we secured the skiff with difficulty. So the skiff was a lifeboat. But not only was it a lifeboat, on larger boats, they would anchor the boat out away from the shore, and they would have this skiff boat, or we would think of it as a lifeboat, and that would be the boat that would take the people from the anchored position of the boat into shore. So they were making sure they had this boat so that when they anchored, they could get everybody ashore. Where else? Where was I? When they had taken it on board, they used cables undergird the ship, and fearing lest they should run aground on the Syrtis sands, they struck sail and so were driven. So the storm is so great, they've saved a lifeboat, but they were afraid the boat was going to break apart. So what they did was they tied cables underneath it to hold the boards together so that when in the tempestuous sea, the great winds and the storm and the waves overblowing the boat, they tied a cable around it to hold all the boards together on the boat so it wouldn't break apart. And then verse 18, they threw the cargo overboard, so we're letting you know this is a pretty bad storm. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard. On verse 20, there was no sun, there was no stars for many days. So the storm is great. I brought my own lozenge this week. They had no idea where they were at. They had no idea what was going to go on. And verse 21, a long time without food, Paul stood up and said, I want to tell you, I told you so. He didn't do that, but he said, I told you, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete, would have spared yourselves all of this problem, and we would be safe at the moment. Now, one of the important thing of what's going on here is Paul, remember, what boat are we in, the right boat or the wrong boat? Well, because you're in a storm, doesn't mean you're in the wrong boat. Remember that. Because there's a storm going on in your life, doesn't mean you're in the wrong boat. And the scriptures that come to mind, what Paul, in telling the people what's going on, he's gaining credibility because whenever they do shipwreck and he ends up on an island, they are going to remember what he had told them all along. So whenever we present the message of Christ and people's lives, they're having smooth sailing and everything's going good, and we give them the knowledge of the scriptures. We tell them about God. We tell them about salvation and forgiveness, and we put all those things out there. When they shipwreck, when their boat runs into trouble, put it that way, when their boat runs into trouble, they will have a knowledge of something we gave them when things were going well. So Paul is telling them when things are going well, don't make the trip. Now he's telling them, I advise you that you should have taken my advice. Then verse 22, I urge you now to keep up your courage. I urge you to keep up your courage. Now no matter what boat you're in, whether it's in turmoil or not in turmoil, always keep up your courage. Because your courage is not about you being able to save yourself. Your courage is about God being able to give you wisdom and guidance to work this out. All things work together for good. So the challenge is for us to have courage in the midst of the storm because we believe that God is the author of all things. Remember what we said that Jesus said to his disciples? Which verse is it? I have it here. Jesus, verse 7, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." We don't always understand what God is doing. Well, why am I in a storm? Shut up. I know, teachers, don't use the word shut up. I'm going to get a red check mark from my teacher this week. So anyhow, be quiet. Be quiet. Don't be grumbling and complaining. That we should be encouraged because we have the Word of God. So, have we missed the boat? That's the big thing. Oh, I've made wrong decisions. I've made wrong, something wrong here, something wrong there, and I've missed the boat. And I'm on a boat that's going to sink, and I've just totally messed up my life. I've missed the boat. You don't know what missing the boat is until life is over. At this moment in time, we know that we give our life to Christ. We give our life to the Lord. We ask Him for forgiveness and guidance. And God has a way of reset. I was like, I heard a sermon years ago about reset on the computer or whatever. You reset the whole thing. Just push the button. God has a reset. And that He can, He knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly what's going on in your life. And we're gonna read about that at the end of the message. But we're going to find out that God has everything under control. Amen. So do not lose courage. Verse 22. I urge you. That's pretty good language for Paul. I urge you to keep up your courage. Because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Paul's telling them what? The beginning, don't take the voyage. Okay? We took it. Now, we're all going to die. Paul says, take up your courage. Because God told me you will not be lost. Not one life on this ship will be lost. And this is a big ship. There can be a couple hundred people on it. So this is a big ship. And Paul says, not one person will be lost. Did you ever have a shipwreck where no one died in the water? most of those big ships in a big storm like this, they were lucky, anyone was lucky to survive. Last night, verse 23, last night an angel of God to whom I belong. God has put a word in your heart. You will not fail. Failure is never final. It's just lessons to learn along the way. So when we see this, we're looking at God has put a word in my heart. The God whom I serve stood beside me. Okay? The Holy Spirit is with you every moment of every day to quicken the Scriptures to your life. And no matter what you feel your boat is going through, don't worry. The God whom you serve is there with you in the midst of the storm. Who stood beside me and said, do not be afraid. Everything that goes on in life, our lives, now, the media, the events, all this stuff, do not be afraid. God has everything under control. It's according to plan. Perfect love casts out, destroys, gets rid of all fear. Fear has no place with God. God does not fear you into believing. God leads you into faith. He leads you into knowing what His plan and His work is for your life. In a place you do not want to be, don't be afraid. In a place you did not choose to be, Paul didn't choose to be here, don't be afraid. In a place you were warned not to go, don't be afraid. In a place that others have put you in, do not be afraid. Think of the times God has kept you. In every situation, He has never left you. God's word comes to comfort, to displace, to get rid of fear. God's word speaks peace. Peace that is all around me. the ocean and the storm and the winds and the waves, they all say, you're going to sink. But peace in my heart says, it's okay. Boat may go down, but we're going to live. Verse 24 again, do not be afraid. Paul, you must stand trial before Caesar. Now Paul knows why there is this storm. He's on a voyage he didn't want to be. He is in a situation where he comforts everybody that no one's going to die. And then the angel says to him, you're going to stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. Who's in your boat? Who's in your boat? God has graciously given to you all the lives that sail with you. You know how important that is? To let the love of God and the message of God and the strength of God to be in your life and through your life to everyone in your life, in your boat. God is gracious, and God's grace is given to everyone in the boat because Paul is there. God's grace is given to all in your boat because you're there. You have a place and you have a position and you have a way of hearing from God because you heard his word. You hear his word as we read it and teach it, preach it, you live it. That's part of you and that's part of the grace of God that is living in your life. God was reminding Paul of something he told him 2 years earlier. In Acts chapter 23, 11, the Lord stood near Paul and said, take courage. This was 2 years early. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, you must also testify about me in Rome. So Paul is going to go to Rome. He just don't know how he's going to get there. Well, now he knows. He's going to go by boat. And he's going to go by a sinking boat. Oh, wow. So, John chapter 3, verse 7. You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. Verse 27 of Acts 20, verse 25 of Acts 27. Keep up your courage. Reading it again. Men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground and on some island. I have faith in God. We're going to run aground and the ship's going to be torn up and it's going to sink, but not one of you is going to die. I say like Paul in this verse, I have faith in God that it will happen just as God has planned. I say God has a plan for each of your lives. He has a plan for each of our children. He has a plan for our parents, our grandparents, our grandkids. God has a plan, and it will be just as he has planned. And his grace and his mercy will be there because you are there. And you are offering prayers for them. You are Jesus is the important one, but he has spoken to your heart, just as he spoke to Paul. And he says, Paul, I've given you everybody on the boat. God is saying to us, I've given you everyone on the boat. Take courage. Pray for them. The word of the Lord stands beside you. The word of the Lord stands beside you. It is in you. It is part of your mind and part of your heart. So the question is, who do you know that's in rough seas? Their boat, their lives appear to be in a very difficult storm, being held together by a rope of hope. You know, there's a family that we know, I know, that they were teenagers in a church that pastored. They got married, had two kids, and then later on in their life they got divorced. But for no reason, when one of the children was maybe 30 or so, one of the children died. And then this week, their second child died. And you know, they're in rough seas. Here's this girl that was a teenager. And she's a beautiful little thing. But they're going through rough storms and they're going through rough seas. And what are they held together? You know, sometimes we say we're held together by shoestrings. But I want us to know we're held together because of the love of God that holds our life together. Well, people say we've made too many mistakes, we've made too many failures, wrong decisions. But you see, that doesn't matter. It matters only that we know where we're at and where we're at, that God is with us. And God says to take courage. No matter where we are at in our life, we are to take courage. Because God has given to us His word and His assurance. Lives may run aground, and what appears in the boat to be just totally destroyed and sinking. Every apparent disappointment has served a purpose. Every apparent disappointment will serve a purpose. That's why the events of life do not determine who we are in life, the how we believe and how we allow the Word of God to affect our lives. That's how we're, that will determine our purpose and determine our destiny. The key word here is apparent. The apparent disappointment, the apparent disaster, the apparent things are going to be weaved into circumstances and into life that will establish a beautiful pattern that will cause us to come and have the blessing of God on our life. Broken dreams become divine schemes in the hands of God. I want to read Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path, my lying down, and you are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain to it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say darkness, I say surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Wherever your boat is, don't worry. God is there. He knows exactly where you're at. While you, in verse 13 says, for you were formed, you meaning us, you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. While we were yet in our mother's womb, he formed us and made us. And it goes on, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, my pain, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. See, the boat we are in, whether it is being hurled about in the storms of life, whether it is appearing to sink and be destroyed on the reef of the island that we are hitting, on the life that we are engaged in, We're safe because God's word has spoken to our heart, and we are safe in the arms of our Father. Nothing can separate us from Him. And God has given to us all that are on our boat. So let us take courage, be strong and very courageous, God told Joshua. You know, be strong and very courageous. So our courage is not about mustering it up. Our courage is about knowing the God who stands beside us and gives us His word. And His word says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Nothing can ever take you from me. And whatever happens in life doesn't really matter, because your name is in His book of life. You will live forever. Did you know that among all the positive emotions, hope requires some degree of difficulty or uncertainty to ignite it? We need the difficulty to ignite the hope, and the hope is what lives within us. It is the light of God that shines in our life. So let us have hope. Let us take courage. Let us believe that no matter what's going on the in the society, in the world that we are in, be strong and very courageous. People in your boat, God says, I've given them to you. They're safe. Pray for them. Take the word of God to them, the message of salvation. Let them be safe in the arms of our Father. Amen? Lord, we thank you. There are those among us that we know are ill. And for Ken, we pray for you to be with him. I pray that you will touch his body and help him, heal him, restore him. Lord, for the family that we know that is grieving over the loss of another child, we pray, Lord, that you will be the comfort to them in the midst of their storm. God, comfort them. God, there are many that we hear and know of, whether it's in our family or friends. God, they're in our boat. We pray for them. We pray that you would be their guide, their comforter, their strength, their sustainer, their healer, their restorer, their savior. God, we pray for them that you will hold them close to you, and that, God, whatever is influencing them in a wrong way, we bind it. We bind it in by the love and spirit of God, that we pray for that evil that influences their life away from you. We pray, God, that it will lose its ability to influence them in thought, in suggestions, in actions. God, we bind that spirit, and we know, Lord, that all things are possible to those who believe. We have hope, Lord, because of what you give to us in your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.